It's Galatians chapter 5, and then we'll reference Matthew 3 and 4 as well. So for about the last year when I've had the privilege, we've been looking at the fruit of the Spirit in our time of meditation before we partake of the Lord's Supper and reflection. So again, Galatians chapter 5, starting in verse 22, it says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." We've looked at love and joy, peace and patience and kindness, all the way to now here the final one, self-control. Ekrataia is a Greek word here in this passage in Galatians, and it's used a few other times, and it's translated to self-control, but what it really deals with is one who masters their passions and their desires, one not given over to the impulses or to knee-jerk reactions. It's something that Paul references quite often, this war between flesh and spirit, and to those Christians at Rome in Romans chapter 7 and chapter 8 and chapter 9. But self-control in many ways is kind of the culmination of the fruit of the Spirit. And I want us to consider how that is the culmination, because as we are here partaking of the Lord's Supper in communion with Christ and with each other as well, it's a kind of a coming together of all things, a culmination. See, in Acts chapter 24, when Paul was before Felix, in Acts chapter 24 and verse 22 and following, it says, "Then Felix, who was well acquainted with the way," he understood Christianity and knew of it, and more than just knew of it, was very familiar with leadership and doctrine and dogma. "When he adjourned from the proceedings, when Lysias, the commander, comes, he said, 'I will decide your case.' He ordered the centurion to keep Paul under guard, but to give him some freedom and permit his friends to take care of his needs. Several days later, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish. He sent for Paul and listened to him as he spoke about his faith in Christ Jesus." And in verse 25 of Acts 24, Paul says this, that he talked about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Felix was afraid. Notice the order of things here. We see self-control, then the same Greek word that's used in Galatians 5 is used here as well. But before he talks about righteousness. And after all, in order to get to self-control, we need righteousness. And we actually see that in the life of Christ. If you see in Matthew, the third chapter, a passage that we're familiar with in verse 15, we see here that Jesus goes before John to be immersed in the baptism of John. And John tries to prevent Jesus from doing that. And he says, "No, you know, why are you coming to me? It's of you." But notice Jesus' response in Matthew 3:15. Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so, for it is fitting for us to fulfill," what? "All righteousness." And then he allowed him. See, Jesus understood the importance of righteousness. Though being God, he was man. And righteousness is something that is necessary. So as we consider self-control, notice in order to get to that point of self-control, there's the need for righteousness. And isn't that why we're here? To partake in the righteousness of Jesus Christ in remembrance of that and the fulfillment on the cross specifically? But then if you read Paul's letter, his second letter he wrote, he says this about self-control. In 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5, it says, "For this reason, make every effort in your faith to add to it goodness, and to add to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness." It's interesting as we look at the dynamic here with the progression, we see self-control, and it eventually leads to what? Leads to godliness. And so I can't help but think of Jesus in Matthew chapter 4. We see his being immersed by John to fulfill all righteousness. But in Matthew 4, you're familiar, I'm sure, with what happens. We see that Jesus is in the wilderness, and what? He's tempted by Satan. But notice the one temptation. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And again the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to them, 'All these things I will give you if you will just fall down and worship me.'" And notice Christ's response. He said, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and to him you will only serve.'" So as we are here to remember Jesus, what we see is Jesus' life is a life of self-control. Though he was man, he took those fleshly impulses and the desires that he may have had, and he put them away. Why? Because of the understanding that righteousness leads to self-control, and self-control leads to godliness. So as we partake in reflection of Jesus Christ and reflection of all the fruit of the Spirit, we partake of all these fruit. Why? Because, well, as Paul wrote, we imitate me as I imitate Christ. And when we look at Christ, we are imitating the fulfillment of one who desired godliness. And my prayer as we wrap this time of reflection on the fruit of the Spirit and looking at all of those, that our desire is one of godliness too. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day and we thank you for your blessing. That Lord God, as we have had the opportunity to look at all the fruit of the Spirit and use them as a time of reflection, that as we reflect on self-control, that Lord God, we put away those fleshly things, those desires that entangle us, those impulses that ensnare us, and we give ourselves over to the Spirit. That, Lord God, immersion was so we could put on the righteousness of Christ. And that righteousness will help us in our desire and our path of self-control. Because our goal, Lord God, is to act godly and to be godly. And so, Father God, we just praise you and thank you that we are a part of your family and that we can see examples to imitate and none greater than your Son, Jesus Christ, that we can imitate. We praise you and thank you. And we pray that we use this time to reflect. And through your Son's name we pray. Amen.